It's a Football Friday, guys, right here today on Sports Spectrum, and we cannot wait for you to hear the conversation with Devin McCourty, New England Patriots safety. It's coming up right now on the show.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome, everyone. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We're so glad that you tuned into the show today. If you want to reach me, you can email me directly. Jason@sportsspectrum.com is my email. Jason@sportsspectrum.com. I'd love to hear from you. And also make sure you check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. All sorts of free content right there. Resources that you can use to share the gospel with someone. It's all available for free at sportsspectrum.com. We're talking about podcasts, articles, devotionals, great stories on the intersection of sports and faith, all available for free at sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, click that newsletter icon at the top, put your email address in, and you can stay connected with all that we have going on at Sports Spectrum. We'll send you an email once a week with all the articles and devotionals and podcasts that you may have missed, and it'll just come as one email each week into your inbox. We call it Sports Spectrum Weekly. You click that newsletter icon at the top of the website, you put your email address in, and you're good to go to sign up for our Sports Spectrum Weekly newsletter. Now, we got a great conversation today with Devin McCourty, longtime New England Patriots safety. He spent his entire career with the Patriots. Today's NFL, that doesn't happen. A guy playing for more than a decade with the same team, it just doesn't happen. But Devin McCourty is still going strong at 34 years old in the NFL with the Patriots, the new Patriots, as he calls them here in today's conversation. And a couple days ago, we had a chance to catch up with him, our friend Jade McCarthy, formerly of ESPN, SportsCenter, NFL Live fame. Jade today got a chance to catch up on our weekly Slant football show with Devin McCourty. You're going to love this conversation. Take a listen to longtime New England Patriots safety, Devin McCourty.
Devin, how are you?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. Coming off our first win, the season's been going well so far. Young team with some veterans, and it's been a good experience for an older guy on the team.
Yeah, right? What is that like to be the older guy on the team all of a sudden? Because I imagine you blink and all of a sudden you're there.
Definitely. I still remember making fun of Vince Wilford and some of the other older guys on the team. And at least I'm not like J-Mac down in Miami. J-Mac is the oldest guy on the team. I'm just in the top four with Slate, Hoyer, and Nick Folk ranking above me. But it's been fun, man. The young guys remind me often when music comes on or different terminology is used of just how old I am. But just that mentorship role, kind of what guys like Kevin Falk and Gerard Mayo and Vince, and kind of what those guys were for me. I've been able to try to do that for some of the younger guys. So it's been an awesome experience.
It's funny because you kind of get that the lingo thing. You probably start to get it at home. Like I get it from my 9-year-old now. He'll be like, "Oh, mom, that's lit," and I'm like, I don't even think that term is like hip anymore to go back and use another old term, right? Like, so you probably get it all the time from all the guys coming up.
I'm getting close to that because I'm in the locker room. I haven't gotten it at home yet, but J-Mac's daughter's 8. So whenever I'm with him or we're on FaceTime and his daughter starts talking, quickly she lets us know how old we are. So.
Yeah, it happens fast. Tell me a little bit about the leadership role, because I mean, you've been a longtime defensive captain now in New England. But what do you try to bring to the leadership role to this team now?
I think just being myself. I still remember kind of two times in my football career that stood out as far as leadership when it comes to just football. I remember being at Rutgers and Coach Shannon was getting on our kind of leadership group. And he told us, sometimes you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And that stuck with me my whole life. And that was in terms of football, but it really goes throughout life. And
that's everything.
Exactly. And when I first got to New England, Bill said, leadership has nothing to do with experience or any of that. It's about performance and attitude. If you perform and you have the right attitude every day, you can be a leader on the team. And, you know, I think for me now, my 12th year in New England, I've just tried to do that. I've tried to be myself. When I was young and I got voted captain, I got to just follow, you know, Tom, Logan Mankins, Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Matthew Slater. Like, those were the other captains with me. I just sat in those meetings and was like, I'm just going to soak all of this in. And, you know, like we talked about, your career happened so fast. I looked up defensively. Vince was gone. Gerard retired. And that's when I realized, like, I had to take another step in my leadership role. And, you know, I've been very fortunate, you know, my whole time here has been with Matthew Slater, who's been an awesome friend, kind of like a brother to me. And I've learned a lot from him. And it's been fun just kind of being leaders on this team together.
When Tom left, and you guys obviously have a season under your belt now with, you know, Brady having moved on, and we all know how that season ended for him in Tampa Bay with another Super Bowl win. But how did the locker room just change? Because he was there for so long, and he's such a vocal leader, I think, in so many ways, both in his words and then also in his actions. So how did the locker room shift to where you guys are now?
Yeah, I think what we missed most was just his actions. I think that's what guys had got used to. You know, Tom speaks when needed, but he's not, you know, he's not always like this constant voice talking. That's not really his personality. But I think his consistency on his work ethic, his preparation, he was the model of excellence. And I think when you have a teammate like that, that you can just turn to and say, you know, do it like Tom, watch Tom. You know, I think when you lose that, you know, that's a huge part. And, you know, for a team to have someone like that for 20 years is rare. So getting over that and adjusting to what the locker room now looks like was different. But I think it was the NFL. It was our business. You know, I think being in New England, you just got spoiled because you didn't have to do it for a long time. But I think it was great because we had a blend of some newer guys who had come in and was transitioning. So they didn't know life with Tom. And I think guys like that, along with some rookies, and then now a whole nother class of rookies, a whole nother class of free agents, you know, you're now just building the new Patriots and what the Patriots look like. And it's been fun to still be on the team and be a part of that transition and try to lead these guys and talk to them and, you know, try to still share the stories of Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, Gerard, like sharing what I got to see and telling these guys the same way those guys used to tell me about Rodney Harrison and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy and Teddy Bruschi and McGinnis, like all of those guys. So it's just carrying that tradition and passing down great stories.
Yeah, you're like the double-sided tape. Like, you have to be the one that, like, bridges that and, like, sticks the two different pages together, if you will. One of the things that you talked about is just attitude and approach and how that's so important. You talked about Belichick stressing that when you first got to New England, and that's really what leadership is. And that's something that you referenced when it comes to Mac Jones in terms of what you have seen from him. What are your impressions of him? You know, here we are going into week three of the NFL season. What are your impressions of the new quarterback in New England?
I just love that he's unfazed by everything that goes on outside of him and outside of the team. Like, he's just so locked in to what we need him to do, what we need to do as a team. And I can't imagine how hard that is. Like, I was a first round draft pick, but I was 27. I was a corner. Like, no one cared about that. And, you know, we just played a game against another quarterback that drafted same class. And, you know, it was all of the hype, everything that you can build into a game. And he just didn't blink. Like, he didn't care. He just stayed locked in on what we had to do. Stays locked in on his performance and how he can get better. It's just been, for me, it's been impressive to watch. He's been one of those rookies that have come in and been ready to go right away, kind of like Hightower, Chandler Jones. We've had some rookies that have come in like that just as professionals right away. Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon were like
that. I think you can put yourself in that group, Dev. You had a pretty good rookie season.
Yeah, but it's been fun. I think, you know, people used to say that to me, like, hey, man, you're in here, you're like a professional. And I didn't know. I was just doing it. And now watching some of these guys come after you as you get older now, like 12 years in and watching, you know, Mac Jones come in here, it's been fun. Even like Kyle Duggar was from a D2 school last year, and he came in, and I'm like, man, this guy's kind of professional. Like, I like this. So it's been fun to see these young guys develop.
From a faith perspective during the football season, because it's a long season. It just got a week longer this year because now you got 17 games to play in the regular season. How do you fit in your weekly Bible study and your daily time, and how do you structure that? I'm always curious of people who have to jam a lot in to a day that doesn't, you can't make the day any longer. Mm-hmm. So how do you make sure that you still get that in to feed yourself in the way that you need to?
Well, I would say we've been very fortunate here. Mr. Kraft and Coach Belcher have given us a great structure that we've been able to put together, especially when we talk about building our faith and developing as brothers and fellowshipping together, whether it's a Saturday evening or a Sunday morning, if there's a night game, we always have a chapel service. We have a chaplain, Jua Robinson, who is a part of the team, is a part of God's daily life. We can text him at any time. We can talk to him. He's in the facility during the week. And then we have a Monday Bible study of two times during the week where we're able to get together. I think for each individual, you develop that yourself. But for me, it's waking up an extra 20 minutes earlier and have an opportunity to dive into the word and kind of, you know, get your mind set for the day. And, you know, I think that's been awesome. But I really think it's been great what's developed, you know, from my time here back when Jack Easterby came in and mm-hmm. really back in 2013, this thing has just built to having guys with strong faith. And, you know, it's been great to have some of the guys that have come through here, the Nate Solders, obviously the Matthew Slaters, the return of Ben Watson in 19, like just great men of faith that I've gotten to learn a lot from.
What are some of the lessons that stand out to you that you've heard from them over the years, Devin?
I'll never forget Nate. I think Nate is one of the rare people in this world. Nate, he had a couple seasons where he went through a lot. You know, a lot of people know. I know he's a friend of the show, of his son battling cancer, then himself battling. And, you know, every day, though, Nate would be inspiring other people. He would be happy. He would be upbeat. And, you know, there was times I would look at him like, how do you do this? And he was just a rock, I think, for so many guys, like whether it was in Bible study or in chapel, when he would just say, you know, how God was working in his life. And for me, I'll never forget that, just because, you know, obviously Nate's a huge human being, but, you know, he has a heart of gold. And it just stuck out to me that no matter what, you know, what he went through, he just stayed locked in on God. And, you know, I think he's a great inspiration, you know, that I think guys continue to talk about in our locker room and in our chapel services. But, you know, I've learned a lot from him. And then ultimately, Matthew Slater has been one of the best mentors that I could probably ever ask for. And the one thing I've learned from him more than anything is relationships. He always talks about building strong relationships with people, whether it's men in the locker room, whether it's all the people throughout the organization, of, you know, having a kind of mindset and heart of service and trying to be a servant for other people. And he lives that every day and is a great example in our building for older guys, young guys, anybody that's in there to get to see him just be himself every day.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I say this phrase probably, I don't know, at least a dozen times a day in my house to my kids. I just say, we build each other up, we build each other up, we build each other up. And you know, sometimes they look back at me and finish the phrase going, we build each other up, we got it, you know, but they hear it all the time. And, you know, you talk about, you know, Slater talking about it and the relationships that you've forged within the new, you know, the organization in New England. And I'm sure they have tentacles that expand because guys have come and gone and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, when something hard comes, you can deal with it a different way because you have all those resources to reach out to and those relationships. And for you and your wife, I imagine the past really 2 years have been a roller coaster of sorts, because congratulations, you have a new baby at home.
Thank you. Thank
right?
You.
I yep. mean, tell me, he's what, 3 months?
3 months, yeah.
Oh my gosh, right? Like, those moments are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's exactly what you said. It's been a roller coaster dating back to 2020 when, you know, we were expecting our third child, Mia. We didn't know, we didn't look to see a boy or girl, but we were expecting our third child. She was due July 23rd, 2020, and we lost her May 24th, 2020. And you talk about just being able to rely on people. I remember texting Slate, my brother, and Daron Harmon in a group chat, and those guys just pouring into me, calling me that night, Slate and his wife calling me and my wife on the phone and praying with us in the hospital. Those guys sending food, you know, just constantly being there, and Jay and his wife coming down to Jersey and making sure we were good. It was just so many different people, whether it was on the team currently or guys in the past that, you know, were on other teams. They couldn't leave us alone. They just constantly reached out and kept checking on us. And, you know, things go, you go a full year, and, you know, for anybody that's gone through any type of pregnancy loss, you know, it is tough. And, you know, I think for both of us, you know, just me and my wife relying on each other, but it was a blessing. We were able to get pregnant again, and there was a lot of talks. And I remember talking to Ben Watson, who him and his wife experienced something like this, and, you know, twice and before they had twins. And we always talked about that, the blessing of having twins, going from 5 to 7 kids. And we talked a lot about being able to not, you know, go into the next chapter of our life and try to get pregnant again with the mindset of God owed us. And we spent a lot of time of getting over that. And I think the time we spent on that made having Chase, who we had in June 22nd, 2021, made it so much more of a blessing, because we got to celebrate him and the blessing that he was on our family, and still remember our baby girl, Mia, but to celebrate everything and not live with kind of this heart, this kind of hardened heart towards, you know, we deserve this and we were owed this.
Yeah, and I love the picture that was on Instagram of Chase and his little onesie saying that, you know, his sister hand sent him from heaven. But I also would imagine that you don't want to go through that season of expecting a baby after you know that your wife is pregnant again, fearful the whole time, because that I mean, I've experienced losing a baby as well, not the same way that you and your wife did, not that far along in a pregnancy. But to have to go through, you know, 9 months of just living in fear is just unfathomable. So to really, like you said, sort of allow yourself to process what has happened and lean into your faith and find some sort of acceptance, so you're not hardened or fearful as you continue to move forward.
Yeah, definitely. And it was tougher too, because I know for me, I try to always stay like that. And then as a man, there's so much of it that you just don't understand and you don't get to go through. And I will say my wife was an inspiration to me, because, you know, I didn't want to force anything on her. I continue to tell her, like, I want you to enjoy the process like you've done every other time. But just watching her open up and, you know, doing a maternity shoot and announcing it and us doing a gender reveal and her wanting to do those things for me just brought me extreme joy, because we can talk about things and continue to talk and say, like, we're going through this, we're going to get over it. But to actually see her doing it, and it was without me, like, pushing her and forcing her, just it naturally happening for her. I was able to see God working at her, and I think it really lifted, you know, it lifted me, but I thought it lifted our whole family and our loved ones around us that just wanted to support us any way they could. I think it allowed everyone to enjoy and celebrate us having another kid, like, you know, our parents were fully involved with everything. And I think they got to enjoy everything. And I think that's what made it so beautiful.
What do you think God has taught you through the recent seasons in your life and the ups and the downs that you've been through?
It's funny, guys. I literally just talked about this last week with the guys. You know, I talked about last year about knowing that God was trying to teach me something, but I just couldn't see it last year. It was just, I just felt like it was too hard. And, you know, you fast forward to now being in the present day, and it's just living in the moment of enjoying every moment. And, you know, I think I just didn't want to hear it because I felt it as soon as we went through that, you know, my wife going to the hospital on the 23rd and finding out that we lost the baby, and then giving birth on the 24th and going through that process, which is brutal. But getting home the very next day and seeing my kids was as in the moment as it could be, because they're just so pure. They don't know. And watching them really, I mean, still to this day, continue to talk about Mia and pray for her every night. My daughter always thinks of stuff she wants to give her or send to her or see her. And just being in that moment with them and seeing the way that they think about her. And then being in a moment to have another baby and to now be a father of three, just all of these moments continue to happen in life. And I just think, not saying that, you know, I was terrible at it, but I don't think that I was as present. And whatever I was doing, it was kind of like checking the box sometimes and just like, all right, I knocked that out. And I felt like it made me slow down a little bit and really take heed to some of the experiences that I've got to experience and some of the things that have been just an ultimate blessing of just taking time to thank God for those blessings.
And nothing will remind you of the present that's happening in front of you like children will. It's just no doubt about it. Yep. Because that's all that they see. And there is such purity to that. So I definitely think that's the case. You've had this really, I think it's fascinating when you talk to someone who's a twin. And you and your brother have this really special relationship. And just within the confines of the NFL, I think that, Dev, because you know, he was in Tennessee, you were in New England, you guys played against each other, you know, like you were in different places. And then he came to New England, it just sort of happened. You got seasons getting to play on the same team. And now all of a sudden he's in the same division playing for the Dolphins. So you have to listen to him, I guess, up until week 17 when you get to meet up with them again. So I just want to leave with this tonight. Like if you had to give him a message, if you had to give Jay a message between now and week 17, when you see his team on the field again, what would you say?
Well, the first message is they won't win this next time. and that I enjoy sharing notes week to week with him. Like we just played the Jets. We'll have a full FaceTime call when he plays the Jets. He just played Buffalo. We'll FaceTime and break down Buffalo together.
Awesome.
We do enjoy that part of being in the same division, the similar opponents, gives us another mind and another person to kind of break things down with. But we just know two times a year is going to be very awkward now playing each other. And we already experienced week one. So week 17, I think it'll be special though for, you know, you got two guys, 34 years old. We don't know if that could be the last time we ever shared a field together playing. So we'll make sure we cherish that moment and really enjoy it.
Well, like you said, that is just the Lord continuing to speak to you because it's keeping you focused on what's right in front of you and making sure that you're appreciative of it. So
exactly.
Devin McCourty, I really appreciate the time tonight. This has been a lot of fun. And thank you for sharing your stories and taking the time to talk some football and talk about your love for Jesus as well.
No, I appreciate it. I tell Jason all the time, I love what you guys are doing at Sports Spectrum. Anytime I can be on, I'll make sure I'm there. So I appreciate you taking the time to have me on.
It's great stuff there from Jade McCarthy and our friend Devin McCourty from the New England Patriots. We're so glad that he loves what Sports Spectrum is all about, bringing Jesus back into the football conversation on this Football Friday. If you want to watch this entire conversation, which I would suggest you definitely check out the video portion of this conversation between Jade and Devin. You can watch it right now at sportsspectrum.com. If you go to the website, you'll see the couple, three, four articles down. There it is. Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant with Devin McCourty and Jade McCarthy. Check it out on sportsspectrum.com. And you can catch up on all of our other episodes from the Weekly Slant as well. That's our only football and faith show that we got. In fact, I would argue it might be the only football and faith video show that's out there. And you get a chance to watch it now. We have three episodes. Devin McCourty. Last week, we had Jim Kelly. The week before, we had Clyde Christensen, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback coach. And we're going all the way through with this Weekly Slant show until we get to the Super Bowl. And I'm excited because I love football. It's my favorite sport for sure to watch. And I get a chance now every Friday to bring to you guys conversations on football and faith that, like I said, you're not going to get anywhere else. So we're so glad that you tuned in. Again, make sure you go to the website, sportsspectrum.com, to watch today's conversation. Also, on this podcast, make sure that you leave a review and then click that follow button so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. We're dropping 3 to 4 a week. There'll be another one tomorrow and then another one Monday. So we have new episodes coming out. They're about 30 to 35 minutes long. And it's a great way to stay connected in your faith, hear these wonderful stories, and then share them with someone else. Use it as a resource to share with someone else who loves Jesus, who loves sports. What a great way to share the gospel with Sports Spectrum's podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day.